begins his yahrzeit this week with his father. We dedicate the learning lezecha nishmas Rav Shlomo v'Rav Nachum Tzvi. The very opening pasuk in Chumash, it says Bereishis bara Elokim. So the simple pshat is in the beginning, the Rav Shlomo created the world. And the Chachamim have a tradition that there's an additional level of interpretation in the pasuk that we have in different places in Tanakh. The Torah is referred to as Reishis, Hashem Kanoni, Reishis Darkoi, and B'nai Yisrael called Reishis Tvuasoi. So the tradition has it that the additional level of interpretation in the pasuk is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world B'shvil Yisrael B'shvil HaTorah, that the Jewish people should accept the Torah at Har Sinai and should learn the Torah. Learn the Torah means observe the mitzvahs also. And this is the Pashup Shat in the Pasuk. Navim lo brisa yom avalai l'chuk kashmai v'oetz lo samti. If not for the fact that I plan to give a Torah, that the Jewish people should learn the Torah yom avalai lo, chuk kashmai v'oetz lo samti. The Gemara has additional levels of interpretation on that Pasuk. Some Tanaim say it's referring to hakrovas hakrabonis by yom avalai lo. Some Tanaim say it's referring to bris milah. Other interpretations, but one of the maybe pshutosh on mikra is that it's referring to limud haTorah. The Rashi and Chumash quotes the comment from the Gemara Masechah Shabbos that Yom Hashishi v'chul Hashemayim. Why do you have a hey idea? And the other days it says vayir vayvaker yom echad yom sheni yom shlishi. All of a sudden here it says Yom Hashishi with the hey idea. So Rashi quotes in Medrash that this is an allusion to Shishi B'Sivan, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world ala Tanai. Tanai Hisna HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He'll only allow the Shemayim V'Oretz, the whole world, to continue to exist in a normal fashion on the condition that the Jewish people will accept the Torah at Har Sinai on Shisha B'Sivan. If we don't accept the Torah, then the whole purpose of the Bria was Bereishis B'Shul Yisrael B'Shul HaTorah. So He'll be machsa the whole world back to Tohu Vavohu. So the Kabbalah Satorah was years later at Har Sinai. The Gemara says, however, Rabbi Akiva thought that Bar Kochba stood a chance of turning out to be the Melech HaMashiach. So he supported his candidacy for the spot. The Rambam writes, Rabbi Akiva and all the Chachmei Hador, as if all the Tanoim agreed. And the Talmud Yerushalmi is not presented like that at all. Talmud Yerushalmi says that they all disagreed with Rabbi Akiva, and they said, you're going to be dead and buried in Mashiach Adayin. Yalu asavim bilchayecha. That you're going to be pushing daisies. Grass is going to be growing on top of your body. You're going to be dead and buried. Adayin ben David loybo. How come they didn't believe in coming of Mashiach? How do they know Mashiach is not going to come? So the other Tanoim said they had a tradition. Rabbi Akiva said they never heard of it. We'll see if it's true. We should live so long to see if it's true. So they had a tradition that Shisaf and Shnin Havi Alma, the world is going to last for 6,000 years. It means something's going to change after 6,000 years. It doesn't necessarily mean the whole world is going to collapse. Ramchal has a whole sefer, he has a whole interpretation, but something is going to change. We don't know exactly what's going to change. It says in the Gemara, and then the next 1,000 years is going to be Chorev. So the Ramchal says, it doesn't mean Kipshut or Chorev, it means something else. Okay, whatever it means. So then the Gemara says, they had a tradition, the Rakech in his commentary on Chumash writes, that in the Pasuk, Bereishis, Bara Elokim, there's six Alephs. Bereishis, base Reish Aleph. Bara has an Aleph, Elokim has an Aleph. Esar Shamayim, Esar, Aleph, Aleph. Oretz has an Aleph. So the six Alephs, and Aleph means 1,000, so there's 6,000 years. There you have it. A Beferish Pasuk. Bereishis, Bara Elokim has six Alephs, so it's 6,000 years. That's a remez, okay. The Rekech writes like that. Then the Gemara says they had a tradition that the 6,000 years is to be broken down into three parts. The first 2,000 years, the first Yunishnei Allah from Tohu. Nothing going on. There's no Torah. And it's a waste. The Rebbe Shalom created the world, Al-Manas, that the Jewish people should be Mekabel Torah. So the first 2,000 years was Tohu, really a waste. We're warming up. Then the next 2,000 years is Torah. And the next 2,000 years is Yemos HaMashiach. There's the potential for Mashiach to come. And Bar Kochba was before the year 4,000. So that's what the other Tanoim told Rabbi Akiva. Yalo asavim b'chayecha v'adayin ben David loybo. Mashiach can't come until the last unit of 2,000 years. Okay. Achishena, we assume, usually means within the 2,000 years. So Abzochu, the Gemara says, Achishena, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will hasten the coming of Mashiach earlier on in the 2,000 years. And if not, it'll be Be'ito, whenever that is, within the 2,000 years. So according to that tradition, Mashiach has to come before the year 6000. We're getting pretty close. It's the year 5771, give or take 150 years. We're not exactly sure. When we write the Ksuba, when we write a Get, Chalila, so we write the date 5771, Limin Yishonim Onkad. It may not necessarily be correct, that's Limin Yishonim Onkad. That's a question, because the Gemara assumes that the Bai Sheni only lasted for 420 years. But there are psukim in Ksuvim, where has the list of all of the Goyishi kings during the period of the Bai Sheni. So many kings there. It sounds like it's much longer. So the Gemara says, no, these are all different names for the same person. And in the Goyishi history books, they're assumed to be different people, and each one was a king after the other one, after the other one, after the other one. So that's a shaila. How do you deal with this Gemara? So the Balamor in the beginning of Rosh Hashanah writes, we all know that the Gemara made a mistake, that the history books tell us that the Bai Sheni was much longer than 420 years. And the Ravid learned B'chavrusa with the Balamor. So he says, Apikeres? What do you mean? Gemara says that the history books are wrong. It's an ongoing debate. In every generation, there's a machlekes. Whether we assume that the Gemara is accurate, well, not necessarily accurate on history. So that's a question. Okay. So they told Rabbi Akiva, we have this tradition. He said he never heard of it. We have a tradition that the Mashiach can't come before the year 4000. We assume the Itach Hishen is within the 2000 years. The Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch wanted to make one of the Malachim in the Bais Rishon, he wanted to make him Melcha Mashiach after Sancheira, his Kiyo. But because he didn't sing Shira after the Yeshua, so that's why he lost the chance to be the Melech HaMashiach. So the Mefarshim is, how can it be? Well, according to this tradition, Mashiach is not going to come until the last 2,000 years. So they say Rabbanu Shalom would have changed the plan. He has a right to change his mind, whatever that means. Okay. So what does it mean that the Torah began two Shnei Alafim Torah? What do you mean Shnei Alafim Torah? So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah explains what the Kabbalah Satorah was not in the year 2000 after Briyah Shemayim Ve'aretz, it was way later. So the Gemara explains, if you look in the Chumash, it says how old Adam was when Shais was born, how old Shais was when Adam, Shais, Enish, Kenim, Halala, Yered, whatever the names are there. You go down the list, it says how old he was when the next generation was born, how old he was when the next generation was born. So if you make the calculation, the Gemara says Avram Avinu was born in the year 1948, Libriya Soilum. The year 1948, Libriya Soilum. So then the Gemara says, and we have a tradition, no Pasuk in Chumash, we have a tradition of Gemiri, that at the age of 52, he was already preaching monotheism to the whole area. And that's what it says, HaNefesh Asher Osa B'choron, Avram is Megayeris HaNoshim, his Torah Megayeris is HaNoshim, so they were preaching Torah, whatever Torah he had. He was preaching Torah, so that's the beginning of the Shnei Alafim Torah. Shnei Alafim Torah begins when Avram Avinu is teaching Torah to the public. But that's only Avram Avinu was learning Torah on his own. The Gemara has a tradition, Avram Avinu kim kala Torah kula, al shalei nitna. He volunteered as an Eina Mitzvah V'yosef. But the real Matan Torah, the Torah Hisna Kodesh Baruch Hu, in Maisa Bereshis, Yom HaShishi, on the condition that the Jewish people will accept the Torah, that it should become a mitzvah v'yosef, not just an any mitzvah v'yosef. That was years later. That was on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai. How did Avram Avinu figure out Avram Avinu kim kol Torah? How did he figure out the Torah? So the Medrash says that he had kloyas yoatzos. His kidneys advised him, and he figured it out. What does that mean? So it's usually explained that the Midrashim, several of the Midrashim comment on the opening pasuk. Bereshis Bara Lakim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tackled by Raisa Bara Soilim. The Baruch Hu first looked into the Torah and created the world as if the Torah was the blueprint of the world. That's the title of more than one book. The Torah is the blueprint of the world. So when the children go to school, so an assignment in elementary school is the teacher asks the children, draw a blueprint of your house. Figure out the layout of the house. Not so difficult. You take a measuring stick, or a tape measure, and you measure how big all the rooms are, and then you write the layout of the rooms. So if the Torah was the blueprint of the world, the Rabbi Shalom looked into the Torah and he created the world in such a way that it should reflect these ideas. So if a person is has a kishrin, he'll be able to look in the world and figure out what the mitzvahs are. So that's what's usually assumed to be the meaning of the Medrash, that Avraham Avinu had kloyos yotzos, He had enough intelligence to look into the world and to reconstruct what the Torah was based on the way the world came out, what the Torah was. But the real Kabbalah Sotar was at Har Sinai. And then the Gemara says the plan in the world was Shnei Alafim Torah and Shnei Alafim Mimos HaMashiach. So that's a question the Maharsha asks on that Gemara, Avodah Zarah, and Daf Yud in the first parak. What do you mean? The Maharsha lived after the year 4000. 4000 was approximately the time, the cutoff period between the Tanoim and Amoraim. That's approximately the year 4000. So the Maharsha lived in the 1600s. So the Maharsha says, but I'm learning Torah. And you had the Rishonim were learning Torah. There were so many people learning Torah after the year 4000. What kind of a lashon is that? Only Shnei Alafim Torah. So he says, no, it doesn't mean that the Torah ended. The Torah goes on forever. But the Mos HaMashiach only begins the last 2000 years. It doesn't mean that the Torah is only restricted to 2000 years. That's how the Mashiach writes in the Chidushi Agoda. The Chazon Ish quotes this Mashiach. He doesn't think that it's right. He thinks that just like Shnei Alafim Tohu is only those 2,000 years. Shnei Alafim Mos HaMashiach means only those 2,000 years. The Mashiach can only come in the last 2,000 years. That's how the other Tanaim had this tradition. So their part of their tradition was Shnei Alafim Torah means only those 2,000 years. I bet the Chazon Ish is still around learning Torah, and the Marshal was learning, and the Rishonim, and the Baalei HaTosfos, and all the Amoraim. The year 4,000 was approximately the cutoff point between the Tanaim and Amoraim. So the Chazon Ish has a suggestion. It's in the middle of Hilchas Treifus, he writes this. He has a suggestion that we today, the Rabbanim today, don't come up with any big new Yesodis. We deal with the concepts that appear in the Gemara. The Amoraim don't come up with new Yesodis either. The Amoraim just interpret what it says in the Mishnah. They explain what it says in the Mishnah. And the Rishonim and Acharonim are just interpreting what it says in the Gemara, and the Gemara is just interpreting what it says in the Mishnah. To come up, to be mechadish, new concepts, to lay new foundations, that was only limited to the Shnei Alafim Torah. That's how the Chazon Ish wants to say. You can't come up with some new definitions or some new halachas, like Hilchas Chalamoid. It's very vague in the Chumash. Which malacha are you allowed to do, which malacha you're not allowed to do. There is a machlokes, a Rishonim, two opinions in Tosfos, the last Tosfos in the first parak in Avodah Zarah, where the Malachas Chalamoid is the Raisa de Rabban. And in Shulchan Aruch, it's a machlokes, the Mechaba and the Ramah. The Mechaba paskens that Malachas Chalamoid is only the Rabbanon, and the Ramah is machmer like those Baalei HaTosfos, the Malachas Chalamoid is the Raisa. What's the difference, Halacha L'maaseh? We have all the dinim anyway. So the difference is, the Gemara once in a while has an Ibaid Leif Shito, and Hilchas Chalamoid, they say Teiku. So what's the rule? Teiku means that we don't have an answer. So if it's a Teiku and a Din de Raisa, he says Sveika de Raisa L'chumra. If it's a Teiku and a Din de Rabbanon, he says Sveika de Rabbanon L'kula. So the Mechaber and the Ramah argue l'shitasam. There are a few places where there's a Teiku in the Gemara regarding Malachas Chalamoid. So the Mechaber goes l'kula because l'shitasam. He holds that all the Malachas Chalamoid are only awesome at the Rabbanon. And the Ramah l'shitasam, he writes that Malachas Chalamoid is deraisa. So he goes l'chumra. When the Gemara has a Teiku and he buys the Leif Shita and Hilchas Malachas Chalamoid, the Ramah goes l'shitasam. That's what Rabbi Kevege points out on the Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber and the Ramah go l'shitasam. So if you hold Malachas Chalamoid is the Rabbanon, so the whole thing is an invention of the Rabbanon. No problem. If you hold Malachas Chalamoid is the Raisa, where did they figure out all these rules? They're no psukim at all. So that's a concept that's called Lo Mesara HaKosu Vela Lachachamim. The Gemara has that expression regarding Malachas Chalamoid. So half of the Rishonim say, yeah, the Torah gave the rabbis the right to invent Dinim the Rabbanon. Lo Mesara HaKosu Vela Lachachamim. They invented Anisa Malachas Chalamoid, and they made up all the rules and regulations. And the Ramah Paskins, like the other Baalei HaTosfos, like the other Rishonim, no, Malachas Chalamoid is their Raisa, and there's a new concept. Lo Mesara HaKosu Vela Lachacham, the Chum have a right to be Koveya, based on their intuition, even then no Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Behem at all. It's not really Svara. Svara is taka, a strong Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Behem. It's not really Svara. It's very unclear. So nonetheless, the Ramah follows those who shine him that this is a din deraisa. That's a concept. So that's what the Chazon Ish says. This right of the Chachmei HaTorah to be Koveya, Halach is La Mesar Kos Vela Chachamim, that's what the Gemara means to say, that Shnei Alofim Torah. The Torah goes on into the last unit of Shnei Alofim. Also, we're still learning Torah today. After the Marsha died and after the Chazon Ish died, we're still learning Torah. But we don't have the right to be Koveya any halachas. We just try to figure out what the Pshat and the Gemara is. What did the Tanoim say? So roughly speaking, that's the cutoff point. Al Pidin, Al Pipashtus, there is no difference between Tanoim and Amoroim. There's no difference in Halacha. The Rambam starts off Hilchas Mamrim. Rambam writes, Bez Dan Gadol in Yerushalayim, they are the representatives of the Torah Shebal Peh. They are Mudi HaHoyro and Nika Torah Shebal Peh. And the Bez Dan in every generation has the right to darshan the Psukim the way they understand. And they don't have to worry about the fact that the Bez Dan in the early generation said not so. It says, Vosalo Shoifet HaShayyeh B'yamim Mohim. You have to ask the Rabbanim in your generation. The Gemara has a famous expression, Yiftach Bedoro Kishmol Bedoro. In the generation of Yiftach, they asked him, and it didn't. And Shmuel HaNavi in his generation, they asked him, and he passed. And the Gemara is ruled, Ein Bez Niyocha Levatel Dibi Bez Nen Chaverim Ken Godel Hemene B'chokhma V'minyan, that a later Bezin has no right to disagree with an earlier Bezin, unless the greater in Chokhma and Minyan, the greater in the group, the number of Rabbanim that they gathered together, greater in knowledge, bigger Talmid Chachamim. So the Rambam quotes from the Yerushalmi, all the Rishonim quote the Yerushalmi. It's not only the Rambam, they all agree, no one disagrees. That's only to repeal the Gzera de Rabbanon, to do away with the Takana de Rabbanon, so the later Bezin Levatel, Dibre Bezin Haver, to repeal the Din de Rabbanon that was instituted by the earlier Bezin. So you have to be greater B'chachma V'minyan. But if you're arguing about what Pshat and the Chumash is, how to darshan, how to apply the Midrash HaTorah and Resh Hespan, En L'chal HaShefet Shal B'yamech, Yiftach B'doro Kishmol B'doro, the Bezin in every generation has the right to express their opinion. So the Kesef Mishnah asks on the Rambam, it's not really the Rambam, it's the Yerushalmi. Everybody agrees to that. So the Kesef Mishnah asks on the side of the Rambam, the Gemara many times quotes an Amora as developing a din. Amora says a din. Then they say, May Svei the Eskakasha from a Mishnah, from a Braise, and there's no machloikis, all the Tanoim agree, this is the din. So the Gemara says, how can the Amora say like this? It's a Tayufta against the Mishnah, Braise. No, it says, Teyufta de Rabbi Teyufta. Teyufta de Reish Lakish, upgefrekt. They wiped them off. He's wrong. What's the Teyufta? If he has a right to disagree, the Rambam says the Bezdin in every generation has a right to disagree with the Bezdin in the earlier generation, even though he's not as great. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein very often disagreed with the Nadi Yehudim with the Chassam Sofer. So there was a Talmud Chacham here from the Queens area who wrote a whole book attacking Rabbi Moshe. Rabbi Moshe's Sofer was called Igris Moshe. So his sefer was called Maneli Igoris, the response to the Igoris Moshe, Maneli Igoris. It was printed by the same Shusterman, by the same Balshin printers, and the same type, exactly the two columns. And it's such a nasty book, so after it was printed, Rav Moshe had such a Chalisha Sadas, how they printed such a book. He didn't print the later Igoris Moshe, were no longer printed by that publisher. Because when he was setting the type, the story goes, when he was setting the type, his hair was on end, the typesetter. And he called the Rav Moshe and he asked him, is it okay if I print the Sefer? So what was the Shaila? So he didn't tell him that it's so nasty, and he says, you're not Pikiris and you're not Moritz and you're Balgaiver because you think that you know how to learn better than Chassam Sofer than Nadi Hill put together. He just said, someone gave me a Sefer, he doesn't agree with the Rosh Hashiva. So Rav Moshe said, everyone has a right to disagree. So he gave him permission to print the Sefer. But then when he saw the Sefer, he was so hurt by it. So the Agudas Rabbanim made a nisa, no one's allowed to buy the sefer, so hardly anybody bought it. It's an interesting sefer. Chacham Avadi Yosef quotes the sefer, and he writes in parentheses, he quotes everybody. Chacham Avadi quotes everybody. So he writes in parentheses, Afal Pisha Hifriz Alamida, even though he exaggerated a little bit in his disagreement with Rav Moshe Feinstein. It happens the fellow who wrote the Sefer was, he passed away already, I think. He was a Talmid Chacham. Some of the points, and he has very strong points. But the way he wrote it was very nasty. So that's what Rav Moshe said. I never said that I'm greater than the Chassam Sofer, I'm greater than the Rebbe Yehuda. Rav Moshe was a very humble person. Some of us knew Rav Moshe. He was an extremely humble person. And he wasn't a faker. He was really humble. Ali Badanis. He didn't think he was greater than the Chassam Sofer and the Rebbe Yehuda. But he said, that's the halacha. He said, maybe I'm not entitled to an opinion at all. But people keep on insisting. They want to know my opinion. So I have no brevet. I have to give my honest to goodness opinion. Even if it's in disagreement with greater people who preceded me. You don't have to be greater b'chachma v'minyan at all. So that's what the Kesef Mishnah asks on the Rambam. If the Rambam is right, then the Rambam is right. All the Rishonim agree. No one disagrees. Bez Din in every generation is entitled, Moshe Feinstein was entitled to disagree with the Nadi Yehuda and the Chassam Sofer, and the Amoraim are entitled to disagree with the Tanoim, and the Achreinim are entitled to disagree with the Rishonim. The Ramah writes this in Chosha Mishpat, Simen Chafei, is a simen about Tor B'Shikol Adas. That's probably the most complicated sugya in Masechah Sanhedrin. One of the most complicated sugyas in Shas. But it's clearly the most complicated sugya in Masechah Sanhedrin from the beginning to the end. What's the din if the Bezdin made a mistake in a psak? But it's not an often a mistake. It's Tor B'Shikol Adas. It's a judgment call. So originally they pask in a favor of Reuven and Dinamam in this case, and then they want to reverse the psak. But Shimon already gave the money to Reuven. Reuven has the money in his bank account. So when does the halacha say that Reuven has to give back the money? When does halacha say he doesn't have to give back the money, but the dayan has to make good because he made him give the money incorrectly? And when does he not have to give back the money and the bezin does not have to pay? So there's a long sugya there, a long gemara with a long riff and a rambam, very complicated. And a chosha mishpat is very complicated, all simcha chafei. So there in simcha chafei, the Ramah writes this rule. He writes, if someone in our generation, the Ramah lived in the 1500s in Krakow, in Poland. So he says, if someone in our generation disagrees with the Chuvas HaGoinim, the Goinim lived 500 years before the days of the Ramah. So if someone disagrees with the Goinim, do you have a right to disagree? But the Ramah recommends you should consult other contemporaries of yours to make sure that you're not making a major mistake. So if the others think that you're right and you have these riots from the Gemara that the Goinim are wrong, so then you have no choice. You have to paskin against the Goinim. That's the din. Achrenim have a right to disagree with Rishonim. Amoraim have a right to disagree with Tanoim. And the Ramah Shefanshan has the right to disagree. He has a right and an obligation. If he thinks they're wrong, you're obligated to say so. Rav Chaim Volozhin quotes from the Vilna Gaon, a famous line that they took out of Rav Chaim Volozhin's Tshuvas. There's a Sefer Chut HaMshulosh. Shadas the Tshuvas Chut HaMshulosh has the Tshuvas written by the three Rosh Yeshiva and Volozhin. The first one was Rav Chaim Volozhin, who founded the Volozhin Yeshiva in 1801. And then they have the Tshuvas from his two sons-in-law, Rav Lezer Itche and Rav Hillel. Rav Lezer Yitzchak was one son-in-law and Rav Hillel. So several of the lines in the Tshuvas of Rav Chaim Volozhin are famous, and they're quoted not for the halachic significance, but for the historical significance. They're quoted in the history books. And one of the lines that he writes is that the Vilna Gaon instructed him that if someone, a Talmud Chacham, who's Higia Lo Hairoa, figures out what the din is in a certain case, and it turns out against the Shulchan Aruch, he's convinced that the Shulchan Aruch is wrong. So the Vilna Gaon says, you're not allowed to follow the Shulchan Aruch. You have to paskin against. You have a right and the obligation to express your honest to goodness opinion. Like Rav Moshe Feinstein said, he feels obligated. People are asking him. He feels obligated to say his honest to goodness opinion, the disagreement with the Chasam Sofer and the Nadi Yehuda and so on. He worked it out and he thinks that's the din. He said, maybe I'm not entitled to an opinion bechlal. But in Tim Tzilayim, if I am entitled, then I'm mechuyev to say my honest to goodness opinion, even if it's a disagreement with the Gedolim from before. So that's what the Vilna Gaon said, that if you have a din Torah and you're paskin in favor of the, let's say, din Torah between a rabbi and a balabos, how can you be mevaz of the rabbi? You have to paskin in favor of the rabbi. Or you have a din Torah between the president of the shul and what? How can you be mevaz of the wealthy man, the bekovadika balabos? How can you paskin the oni has to pay? Hotnish ken panasa. You have to paskin in favor of the oni. So the Chumash says you're not allowed to do those shenanigans. It says leisisa pnei dal, leseda pnei dal. So the Vilna Gaon said, if someone works out the din and he's convinced that the Shulchan Aruch made a mistake, and out of respect for the Shulchan Aruch, he paskins like the Shulchan Aruch, he's over on that din of leisisa pnei dal mishpat. You're paskining wrong out of respect for Rabbi Yosef Karo. You're not allowed to have respect for Rabbi Yosef Karo. If you're convinced that he made a mistake, you have to paskin against that. So that's what the Kesem Mishnah quotes the Kasha. The Gemara has this kamat on every page in the Gemara. The Gemara asks the Kasha, how can an Amora say a certain din? But it's against the Mishnah, it's against the Brisa. The Gemara says, you're right, he didn't know the Mishnah, he made a mistake, Tiyufta. Scratch it out. Why is Tiyufta? They have a right to disagree. You have a right in the obligation. If he thinks that this is right, I have a right to disagree.
Maybe then Rabbi Yosef Karo will take you out of agree, so maybe you're disagreeing on how or with the three people, not on the what?
No.
He also said that Rav Tana, when Rav disagrees with the Mishnah, we say Rabbi had a special case, he had a time, but he's the only one.
So that's the question, why? What is this halacha Moshe Mitzrayim? that Amoraim don't have a right to disagree with Tanoim. It's not true. In every generation, so the Kesef Mishnah answers on that Rambam, the first Rambam in Hilchas Mamrim, first page in Hilchas Mamrim. So he says, strictly speaking, the Amoraim do have a right to disagree with Tanoim. But the Amoraim had an attitude that if there's a machlokes hatanoim, even though there was a minority opinion that was outvoted, they reserved the right to accept the minority opinion. But if you look in the Tkufas HaTanoim, and everybody said one way, and we're going to take on all the Tanoim, so the attitude was they're going to give in. But once in a while you have Gemaras, the Amoraim disagree with Tanoim, and there's no Tano to back them. Can we paskin like the Amoraim? We do. You can't paskin like Amoraim against Tanoim. Rabbi Chana Wasserman writes that he has the kasha of Rab Chaim Soloveitchik. Rabbi Chana learned by Rab Chaim Soloveitchik, then he learned by Rab Shimon Shkop. He learned by Rab Shimon Shkop was a Talmud Rab Chaim. So he learned by both. So often he quotes Rab Chaim, and often he quotes Rab Shimon Shkop. So he says, he asked an entertaining kasha of Rab Chaim Soloveitchik, that from all of the Amoraim, he said before, all Amoraim, they never disagree with Tanoim. The only one that disagrees with Tanoim is Rav. Umar says, Rav Tanuhu Palik. Rav held that he had the right to disagree with the Tanoim. So there's a Taisus in the first Perek in Ksubas, where Taisus proves from the Gemara, around Av Zayin, that Rabbi Yochanan disagreed with Rav on that point. Rabbi Yochanan held that Rav did not have the right to disagree with the Tanoim. We have a rule in the Gemara, Rav Rabbi Yochanan, Alachik Rabbi Yochanan. When there was a Machlekes Rav Rabbi Yochanan, we always pass like Rabbi Yochanan. So if there was a Machlekes Rav Rabbi Yochanan, whether Rav has a right to disagree with Tanoim, so we should pass like Rabbi Yochanan. So Rav was an Amora, he wasn't a Tana. And whenever the Gemara says Rav Tana Hu Palig, we always accept Rav's opinion. How can that be? But Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with everything. So Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman quotes, Rabbi Chaim just answered Bekitzer. Zolzain, that is an Amor. An Amor has a right to disagree with the Tana also. There's no such halacha that an Amor doesn't have a right to disagree with the Tana. This is just an attitude that they had. They're going to give in. If they see all the Tanaim say one way, if there's a machloikis in the Tkuvas HaTanaim, so they reserved the right to adopt a minority position, even though it was outvoted in the earlier generation. The consensus switches. One generation, the consensus, the right was one direction. And a later generation, the consensus is faket. But if all the Tanoim, you don't find any Tanoim saying like this, all the Tanoim say one direction, so the Amoraim had an attitude, they're not going to disagree with everybody. Rav never had that attitude. He felt that he has not. There is no halacha. Who's a Tana, who's an Amora? It's not the Machlekes, Rav, Rav Yechanan. Whether Rav is a Tana, Rav is an Amora. What's the difference? The difference, la halacha, is that's what the Chazanish says. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Peivav, Daf Peihem, a base, the Gemara tells a story that Rav and Shmuel learned by Rabbi Yudal Nossi in Eretz Yisrael. And after they learned, so they were going to get smicha and leave. So they both had tickets, they both went on the same boat. They both went to Bava by boat, the Gemara says. So the Gemara says that one of them got sick and the other one was treating him. Rav got sick and Shmuel was treating him. So the Gemara says that Rav got smicha and Shmuel never got smicha. Every day something else came up as it turned, and then he had to leave. The boat left, so he never got smicha. So Rabbi Yudal Nossi felt very bad about that. Why you can give smicha to someone else who's not in your presence, but that's only provided he's also in Eretz Yisrael. They both have to be in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yudal Nossi lived in Eretz Yisrael, but once Shmuel left already, it's farfam. Shmuel left Eretz Yisrael, he can't confer smicha on him. He can confer smicha by mail to someone else who's living in Eretz Yisrael, but not to some. The smicha that we have today is only imitation smicha, because it's not being granted in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says over there, Rabbi Yudal Nossi felt very bad. Why he, as it turned out, b'mikre, he wasn't able to give smicha to Shmuel. So then the Gemara says, someone told Rabbi Yudal Nossi, don't feel bad about it. I once saw the Sifrei Shalad HaMarishim. The Pasuk says in Parshas Bereishis, Zeh Sefer told us Adam. So the Pasuk Pshat is that this Sefer Torah is the history of mankind. Zeh Sefer told us Adam. So the Gemara says, it isn't really. The Chumash is a history book of mankind. It's poorly written if it's intended to be a history book. So the Gemara says that this Pasuk is a reference, an allusion to Sifrei Shalad HaMarishim. That the Rabbanu Shalom Shalad HaMarishim, Dar Dar V'Darsha, Dar Dar V'Chachamav, Dar Dar V'Seifrav, he showed him how the development of history is going to work through all the generations, and how the development of Torah is going to happen. And he shows him all the tzaddikim and all the Tamir HaChachamim from all of the generations. And some of the Amoraim had, Rabbi Yudah HaNasi didn't have this book, but one of the contemporaries had seen this Sifra Shalat HaMarishan. So he says, that's what it says from Sheshis Mebereshis. And Sifra Shalat HaMarishan, there's going to be Rabbi Yudah HaNasi, he's going to have two students. Rav is going to get Smicha, Shmuel is not going to get Smicha, he's going to be known as the astronomer. Shmuel Yarchino, he's going to be known as the big astronomer. Even though he was also big in Torah, and he went to Bavel and he made a yeshiva. Rav Shmuel made yeshivas in two different cities, they were both Marbitz Torah. That's what it says in Sefer Shalat HaMarishan. So then the Gemara quotes another two lines from the Sefer Shalat HaMarishan. The reason why they quote the story is because of the fact that Shmuel never got smicha, so that's how they start. Then they quote the next two lines that are not relevant to that daf, that the next line says, Rebbe v'Rav Nosson asof ha-mishneh, and Ravina Ravashi asof ha-iro. What's the relevance of Rebbe v'Rav Nosson asof ha-mishneh? That's the end of the period of the Tanaim and the beginning of the period of the Amoraim. But al pidin, it doesn't mean anything. What's the relevance of the fact that that's sof ha-mishneh? So according to the Chazon Ish, as we understand a little bit, Chazon Ish claims that the end of the Shnei Alafim Torah was taka approximately that time, the end of the period of the Tanaim, the beginning of the Tekufas Amoraim, and the developing like lo mesara hakasav ela lachachamim, like Malachas Chalamoid, and according to the Rambam, the Gemara. In Masechus Shabbos and the Tosefta goes on and on forever. Masechus Shabbos, a few prokem about Chukasakim, what's included in Chukasakim, what's not. So the Rambam holds that all those things are derais, all those examples of Chukasakim are derais. Wearing a reit bendel says that it's Chukasakim. A whole bunch of things, there, 1,001 things are listed off Chukasakim. So the Rambam holds that all of these are derais. So the Kesem Mishnah writes, he thinks he has a kasha, he gives a teretz, he thinks that that's also the Mesarah HaKosav El Al HaChachamim. To determine what's Chukasak and what's not, is up to the Chachamim to determine. So that's what the Chazon Ish claims, that to set up Klolim from thin air, based on intuition, that's only the Shnei Alafim Torah. Like Yesh Breira, Ein Breira. A new concept, Yesh Breira, Ein Breira. So that's in the Tkufa of the Shnei Alafim Torah, you can set up. After that Tkufa, once you have Amaroyim, Rishayne, Goinim, and Rishayne, Machrayim, they can't come up with new concepts. That's what people were talking. After Hakamas Medina, we should develop new concepts that Hilchas Medina are different. You can't invent new concepts. If we would live in the Shnei Alafim Torah, we'd be able to come up with new concepts. Whatever the Tzarech HaMedina is, Pikuach Nefesh. There is such a Kesem Mishnah, says like that. He thinks that Pshat and Rambam, Takan the Chukasakum. He thinks like that. Wherever Tzarech HaMedina, everything is considered a suffix, Sakanas Tefashis, and everything goes within reason. So that's. So according to the Chazon Ish, you understand a little bit what's the halachic significance of Shnei Alafim Torah. That at the end of the period, Rabbi Yudah HaNasi died approximately the year 4000, roughly speaking. What's the significance of Ravina Ravashi, Soif HaRoh? They're the ones who edited the Talmud Bavli. So, Sukkum Tzeh Agroisi Yashikoyach, okay. It's fantastic work. But what's the halachic relevance of that? So that's what the Ramah in Simon Chafei and Chosh Mishpa writes, what I mentioned before. If you come across a Chubas HaGoinim and you think they made a disastrous mistake, you should consult your contemporaries. Maybe you have an oversight. Maybe you're making a mistake. So if all the Rabbonim of your generation, if you speak to others and they think that you're right, then the Goinim made a mistake, and you bring your Arias, then you have a right to disagree with the Goyim, you can paskin against them. So what if someone wants to disagree with the Gemara also? So he says, that not. Whatever it says in the Gemara, you can't disagree. So the Vilna Gaon writes in the Bi'ur Agra, that's what it means in the Gemara, Ravina Ravashi Soif HaRoh. HaRoh means to paskin based on Masorah of Torah Shebal Peh. Only Chachameh HaMasorah have the right to paskin in Torah Shebal Peh. So we still have a Masorah of Torah Shebal Peh now, but it's not in the same high level as it was before the days of Ravina Ravashi. That's assumed. The historical assumption is, most historians, most Talmid Chachamim assume that this is correct, that even though Rabbi Yudah HaNasi edited the Mishnayis, but they were still reciting Mishnayis Baal Peh. They were still not learning Mishnayis Meterach HaKzav. He edited the Mishnayis how they should recite it Baal Peh. The Mishnayis weren't, they didn't begin to learn from a written text of Mishnah is still after the days of Ravina Ravash. That's how I think most of the historians and most of the Achrayim assumed like that. So that's a major change in the Seder HaMasorah. The Torah Shebal Peh was supposed to be transmitted Bal Peh, Varm Shebal Peh, you know, it's the Yata Rashai Liyom Rav Miksav. Not supposed to teach it from a text. Supposed to transmit it Bal Peh. After the days of Rabbi Rav Asha, they started teaching Torah Shebal Peh from a written text, from a sefer. So the later Chachmei HaTorah, the later Chachmei HaMasorah, have a lower level of Chachmei HaMasorah in contrast to those before the days of Rabbi Rav Asha. So that's apparently what that's our Moshe Soloveitchik except shot in that din. Why can't you disagree with Rabbi Rav Ashi? So he said because they had a stronger din of Chachmei HaMasor. In the later Chachamim after Rabbi Rav Ashi, because they were learning Meter Chaksav, they didn't have that same level Alpi din of Balei HaMasor and Chachmei Torah Shebal Peh.
One is obligated to say what he feels is correct. So how is it?
I think it's a very strong question. I think what it means is the following. A lot of times a shaila comes up and it's a question of a judgment call. I can see osir, I can see mutter. I'm more noited to say mutter, or I'm more noited to say osir, whatever it happens to be, but I can see the other side. So then I find all the tanoim say the other way is nishgizap. I back out. I can see that opinion. But sometimes the shaila comes up, it's absolutely ridiculous to say the other way. There's mamish no seichel whatsoever. So then if the Amoraim would be absolutely convinced, you have Gemaras like that. Well, Amoraim were absolutely convinced that all the Tanoim were wrong. It absolutely didn't make any sense at all. So then they didn't show this sign of respect. They didn't have this Kabbalah. Conventional attitude that we're not going to disagree with all the Tanoim. It's only when they can deher the other side, but they think it's slight Natiyas Hadas, makes more sense this way, so they say all the Tanoim say Faker, so Zayin Faker. But if they absolutely disagree, that's where Rabbi Chanan quotes from Rabbi Chaim, that even if Rabbi Yechanan is right, that Rav was an Amora, and Amora still has a right to disagree. And there is a Ramban in Malchamas, the end of Bava Kama, I think on Tzadik Ches, if I'm not mistaken. Ramban Malchamas quotes a few Gemaras from different Mesichtas where Amoraim disagree with all the Tanoim, and we paskin like the Amoraim. It's not unheard of. It's not always an ironclad rule. Anyway, that's how the tradition has it. That the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, Nusheshes Mei Bereshes, Bishvil Yisrael, Sheyikablu As HaTorah, and Maimon HaSinai, the Gemara in Shabbos Da Piches, quotes the Pesukim Tehillim, that the world was a little shaking before Maimon HaSinai, because everything is dependent whether the Jews are going to accept the Torah. So when we finally accepted the Torah at HaSinai, so the world calmed down. The Teva is going to remain for a while, as long as we're going to be learning Torah. And built into the world, according to the other Tanaim, Rabbi Kiva never heard of this. Maybe Rabbi Kiva is right, but the other Tanaim said no. They have a tradition that the history of the world, its first 6,000 years, is going to be broken down into three units of 2,000 years each. The first 2,000 years are Tohu, until Avraham Avinu starts preaching monotheism, Anefesh Hashirasa Bechoran. That's the Shnei Alafim Torah. And then we're still learning Torah now, but the Chazon Ish thinks that Shnei Alafim Torah was relevant halacha lemaisa for establishing halachas without midrash haTorah nidreshes ben. If establishing halachas based on the Masar HaKasuv El HaChamim, so that you have to be in the Shnei Alafim Torah. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described by the Novi as a kel mistater. He hides, like we say, does such a good job at hiding. There's so many who don't believe that he's even there. They had the big headlines in the newspaper last week that this great goyin in physics, Hawking's, what's his name? He came to the conclusion he knows physics so well. There's no Elam Haba, there's no Bari Olam, there's no Schar Yonish, there's no Bchir Chavsh, nothing. He knows Kol Olam Kula. He not only does he know physics, he knows metaphysics. He knows metaphysics, also. He knows everything.
Okay.
Good. So the Ribbono Shel Olam does a good job at hiding. He's a kel mistater, but once in a while he does a gilui shechina. On the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, there was a tremendous gilui shechina. On the occasion of Kriyas Yamsuf, the Chazal say zeh kel me'aveh. Zeh means something you can point to, you can see it. V'asa shiv chalaya masha l'ro yecheskel bambuzi b'maisa merkava. On the occasion of Makas Pcheres, it says there was a gilui shechina. We read in the Haggadah there was gilui shechina. So the Gilui Shechina is to demonstrate that the Ribbono Shel Olam does exist. On rare occasions, he was megala himself, he revealed himself. Most of the time he likes to be a kel mistater. So the Ramban writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he thinks that the just like there's a mitzvah to tell the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim on Pesach, so he thinks that there's a mitzvah to tell over the story of Maimon HaSinai. There's a mitzvah, he thinks that Kriyas HaTorah doesn't necessarily have to be on Shavuos, that's a Takanas Chachamim. We lay in Maimon HaSinai 3 times a year. We lay in on Shavuos, then we lay in Parshas Yisro, we lay in Parshas Vaschanah. We lay in it 3 times a year. So just like there's a mitzvah to lay in Parshas Zohar, many Rishonim say it's a mitzvah in HaTorah to lay in Parshas Zohar, and some Sefer HaChinuch says, maybe it's like a mitzvah once a year, every year. We lay in Parshas Zohar, the Shabbos immediately preceding Purim. So that's not their Raisa. Purim is only the Rabbanon. But the lane once a year, every year, the Sefer HaChinuch says that could be that that's Taka their Raisa. So the same over here, the Ramban writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he's deleting from the Minyan HaRambam. The Rambam lists off what he thinks of the 248 mitzvahs essay, 365 mitzvahs less essay. So the Ramban deletes about 17, 18 from each one, and he has to replace them with other mitzvahs. Ramban thinks that maybe laning Parshas Maimon HaSinai, also like Parshas Zohar, once a year, every year, maybe that's really a din d'oraisa. So everybody should have in mind, on Shavuos, the Baal Kori should have in mind, and the whole Tzibur should have in mind. They should have in mind, they have to know that such a mitzvah exists, and they should have in mind to be yotzei that mitzvah. The reason for the mitzvah is simple. These are the Yetzias Mitzrayim and Maimon HaSinai, were the two historical occasions where HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself. There was absolute Gilui Shechina, and that's what our whole religion is, based on those historical traditions from those two occasions. Maimon HaSinai, Shavuos is one of the Sholosh Regalim, different from Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Sholosh Regalim, you have to be Oyla Regal. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you don't have to be Oyla Regal. On Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we don't say the same Nusach, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and Ishtach Lefanecha. That's only on Sholosh Regalim, a mitzvah to be Oyla Regal, to visit the Beis HaMikdosh. And the Sefer Shari Ephraim, Shari Ephraim is by Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius. Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius was a businessman. He was not the rabbi in Broad. The rabbi in Broad at that time was less famous. He wrote the Sefer Lev Aryeh on Chulin. It used to be a classic. Most people never heard of it today. It's a nice Sefer, Lev Aryeh on Chulin. But Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius, his Svarim were very popular. So on Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah, he wrote a Sefer. It's called Shari Ephraim. So he writes, all the dinim, what if you made a mistake? Kahina hair, all the mistakes possible. Oh, anything, any combination you can imagine. So he says, let's say they're laning on Shavuos, and the Baal Kori made a mistake. He only laned on one day Shavuos, you read Maimon HaSinai. The other day, the second day Shavuos, you read about the Sholosh Regalim. You lane Kol Abchor. So let's say, instead of laning Pesach Shavuos Sukkos, by mistake, somehow the Baal Kori laned Shavuos, and he didn't learn about Pesach, and he didn't learn about Sukkos. So the Shari Ephraim says, we got to give 5 aliyahs. So that's why we have to have so many more psukim. So that's why we learn so much. But basically, the Kriya is really only the Kriya of Shavuos. Pesach, the Ikka Kriya is really about Pesach. The rest is just to fill in. You got to figure out how to make 5 aliyahs. So you learn from Kol Abchor.
They don't do it in Israel.
They don't have 2 days Yantar. So when we lane, so the Shari Ephraim says, what if the Baal Kori made a mistake and he only laned the Shavuos Dikat Parsha and Shavuos? He didn't lane Pesach and Sukkos. So there, since he lane, the main thing is okay, Pesach, he only lane Pesach, he didn't lane Shavuos, he didn't lane Rosh Hashanah. So he says that B'dieved you would be Yotze, because the main kriya really is of that Yontah.
How do you differentiate between the
Kriya
Vayoyim and the rest of the Vayoyim?
That what?
So
remember, Rav Soloveitchik once mentioned that he thought that it wasn't correct. He thought maybe if you're laying a parsha of the Moyadim and you won't lay about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur has no shaychus with Pesach Shavuos Sukkos, but on Pesach Shavuos Sukkos, when you have to learn about the Yontif, so all three are part of the Yontif. It's Sholosh Regalim are all connected. If the Regal falls out in Chodesh Nissan, then we call it Pesach. And you have to eat Matzah and you have to have a Seder. And if the Regal falls out in 49 days later, then we call it Shavuos. And if it falls out in Tishrei, then we call it Sukkot. But basically, it's one Hemshech of Shalosh Hagam. So he thought perhaps not like the Shaar Ephraim, that if you only lane Shavuos and you didn't lane about Pesach and Sukkot, could well be that you're not Yotzei the lane. So make sure the Balkari doesn't make a mistake. Okay.
Also, but the Torah Tminimon on the Baraka of Mekadesh.
Right. Right. Baruch Epstein writes in his autobiography that originally in the Siddur it said Mekadesh Yisrael, and then it said in parentheses in little letters V'Hazmanim, and what it meant was that on Pesach you say Mekadesh Yisrael V'Chag HaMatzos, and on Shavuos you say Mekadesh Yisrael V'Chag HaShavuos, like you're saying Yalav Yavoi. So the printer made a mistake and he put V'Hazmanim in big letters with Nekudas as if that's the Nusach HaBrochem. So there are such Haggadahs that have that. There are old Machzorim that have like that. Kadesh Yisrael V'Chag HaMatzos. But that's not our Nusach. So Rav Soloveitchik,
he heard that from him, he said it's true.
Right. So he, and his proof was, Rav Baruch Epstein's proof was, that on Rosh Hashanah, you don't say Mekadesh Yisrael V'Hazmanim, you say Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron. And on Yom Kippur, you say Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom HaKippurim. Just like Rosh Hashanah is separate, Yom Kippur is separate. So Pesach Shavuos Sukkos, each one should be separate. And it's a mistake. The Hazmanim should be in parentheses, and you fill in whatever it's supposed to be. Rav Soloveitchik thought that it wasn't correct, and he said he argued with him, that he was an action, he didn't want to listen. He said, Pesach Shavuos Sukkos is the same regal, it's Shalosh Hagam, the same regal al pidin. Exactly the same dinim. You're mechuyev to be oil a regal. Iraq calls the Chorcha, the men have an obligation to visit the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara in the first Perek in Chagiga quotes a Tosefta, the first Perek in Chagiga, Perek Aleph in the Tosefta, that Gimel Mitzvahs, Nitztavi Yisrael Bali Yosem LaRegel, when everybody's on LaRegel, they become obligated to observe three mitzvahs, Riyah, Chagiga, and Simcha. Riyah is an Oilas Riyah, you have to be Makriv in Oilas Riyah. You don't need each and every individual person should be an Oilas Riyah, you can have 10 people join together. You can have 1,000 people join together. All the people, you can have 1,000,000 people join together. If you want to be cheap about it, you can have 5,000,000 people bring one Oilas Riyah. They'll all have a Shutfus in it. I don't think they have to have Dabke Shutfus of a Shavu Pruto. It's not necessary. They'll have a Shutfus less than the Shavu Pruto Eichet. But the Mishnah says if you can afford it, you should, whoever can afford it should bring his own Oilas Riyah. If you can't afford it, so you go be Shutfus with other people. So you mukhiv to bring Oilas Riyah. Then the Gemara says, and the Oilas Riyah should be, there's such a thing as Oilas Ha'if. There's Oilas Ha'if and Oilas Behema. So the way it says in our Gemara, Oilas Riyah has to be Dafke Behema. You're not Yetzir, but Oilas Ha'if. The Rambam clearly had a different gear, so the Rambam writes not so, that you can be Yotze by bringing an Oilas Ha'if. And the Mabit writes in his Sefer on the Rambam, the Kiryas Sefer, Mabit was a contemporary of Rabbi Yosef Kara. He was in the Bezdin of Rabbi Yosef Kara in Tzfat, and they had quite a few issues where they disagreed with each other, so it's interesting. They both wrote a Chibur on the Rambam. The Mabit wrote the Kiryas Sefer, and Rabbi Yosef Kara wrote the Kesem Mishnah. So the Kiryas Sefer doesn't come at all to the Kesem Mishnah. Because Mishnah always gives you the Mar Mekaymus. He said, there's a Mishnah, there's a Yerushalmi, there's a Tosefta, and this is a Tshuvas HaGoyim, and the Ramban disagrees, and the Ramban doesn't disagree, and the Rashba disagrees. He gives you a whole discussion over there. The Mabit always has funny sources. He always has something strange. A young man learns in a Kollel, and he wants to say a Shtigl Torah. If you look at the Mabit, there's always something difficult there to talk about. Always something funny, something entertaining, that you got to break your head to figure out, where did he get this from? It doesn't compare. So that's why for so many years, all the standard editions of the Rambam, they have the Kesem Mishnah printed on the side. They don't have the Mabit. In recent years, they keep on reprinting the Mabit. They put him in the back of the Rambam, put him in a separate safe. Okay. The Mabit was a contemporary. So he writes on that Rambam, the Rambam's Girsa in the Gemara was not the way we have. That you can't be Yotzei Oilas Riyah by bringing Oilas Oif. So he says, if you're bringing Oilas Oif, you have to bring a minimum of 2 Oilas Oif. Oilas Behema, you bring one and it's a full carbon. A carbon ha'oif has to be Maseches Kinim. A kan is a nest that has more than one bird in it. When you want to volunteer an Oilas Nedove, so the Gemara learns that from Rashi and Chumash quotes in Parshas Vayikra, in Oif Karbono, you can bring one. Lahavi Preda Achas, you can bring one oif as an Oilas Oif, but that's considered an incomplete carbon. The Gemara says increases whenever you mechuyev to bring a carbon oilas oif, it has to be a minimum of 2. So either you bring 2 oilas oif, or you bring Olasoif udachatosoif. So you have a full carbon of a oifus, or you bring an olasoif with a chatos behema. You can't just bring an olasoif alone; stands by itself. So olas riyah is a chiyuv. So the Mabit writes this chiddush that he thinks the Rambam is of the opinion that you can be yotzei olas riyah by olasoif. Against the Girsa as it appears in Agamar, he thinks, according to Ram, you have to bring two oifas. Wouldn't be enough one. Velvela Soloveitchik, even though nobody ever looks in the Mabit, and we usually assume whatever he says doesn't make too much sense necessarily, Velvela thinks that this one is right. He thinks the Mabit is right over here. Has a long piece that one oif is an incomplete carbon. Whenever it's a chiyav, you have to have a minimum of two. Either two oilas oif, other soif with a chatas soif, another soif with a chatas beima, always has to come with another one. So again, so the Tosefta says gimel mitzvahs that stav Yisrael bali osim la regel, we're mechuyev to do three korbanos. One is oilas riyah. Says lo yiro fanai rekam. They shouldn't yiro kol zchur chas penei Hashem okech. They should all visit the azara. Lo yiro fanai rekam. They shouldn't come empty handed. What do you mean empty handed? So give a donation. So the Gemara says, no, you bring oilas riyah. That's what it means. Then the Gemara says, you have to bring shalmei chagiga. V'chagos amos l'chag l'Hashem. So we usually mistranslate. We say, v'chagos amos l'chag l'Hashem, you should celebrate a holiday. So the Gemara says, wrong. The word chag means a korban chagiga. We call Pesach Shavua Sukkot a chag because it's a holiday on which you bring a korban chagiga. We, in modern Hebrew, we refer to chag purim, chag purim. Or you refer to Chanukah as Chag Ha'urim, the holiday of Chag HaSmicha. So this is a Yiddishism, this is a colloquial expression. Al Pidin, it's not correct. There is no such thing as Chag Purim. Chag is only a term that applies a Yontif, on which you bring a Korban Chagiga. The Chagosim Oso. Right, the Ramos says you shouldn't say Yom HaShmini Chag HaAtzeres HaZeh, because HaShmini HaAtzeres you don't bring a Korban Chagiga. So the Ramos crosses out the word Chag. And those who do say Chag, so some reverse it. They say Yom HaShmini Atzeres HaChag HaZeh, the Atzeres of Chag HaSukkos. And those who say the way it says in the Siddur, Yom HaShmini Chag HaAtzeres HaZeh, because you can bring a Chagiga for Sukkos on Shmini Atzeres. It's still Tashlumin for Sukkos. So it deserves the title of Chag, not on its own merit. On its own merit, it's not Mechuyev in a Korban Chagiga. It's still Tashlome for Sukkot, that's why he called it a Chag. I don't know. It's a good question. The Gemara understands that that's a reference to Rosh Hashanah. So how can that be? It's not a Chag. Yes. I don't know. So the Gemara quotes this Tosefta. You have to bring an Oil Asriya and a Shalmei Chagiga. Again, the Shalmei Chagiga doesn't mean I have to bring a whole behemah Shalmei Chagiga. I can go b'shutfus with another 25 people, and each one will get a little piece of flesh, and that'll be sufficient. If one can afford it, then he has one can afford it. It does make sense. He should bring 25 shalmei chagiga. Who's going to eat it? It'll all turn out to be nicer. So the Mishnah says, if you can afford it, you have a lot of people in the family, and it'll be eaten up, and it won't become nicer. So that's a beautiful thing. So bring a lot of chagigas and have everybody eat it. But strictly speaking, Ish kemat nas yada, kibirkas Hashem akach shenas alach, means that to bring one oil asriya, to be a shutif in an oil asriya together with another million Jews, that's the minimum. And there's no maximum. You can bring many oil asriya, you can bring many shalmei chagiga, you can bring many. That's ish kemat nas yada, that one is the minimum. And then the third carbon that the Braisa talks about is simcha, riyah chagiga and simcha. Simcha is a big question. What exactly is that referring to? Because the Mishnah in Chagiga in the first parak says that if a balabos brings a chatos or an osham on Chalamoid Pesach, so the Kohanim eat the Besar Chatos and the Besar Osham, they can be yotzei idei choybas simcha by eating Besar Chatos. But it's not a korban simcha, it's a korban chatos and an osham. So Tosfos on the Daf says something to the effect, when you shech the chatos and the osham, you should have in mind that it should be a chatos, and also should serve the function of the, when God, I'm going to eat it, it should serve as a shalme, as a simcha. What do you mean? But it's not a shalme simcha, it's a chatos and an osham. A shalme is a kachim kalim, and a chatos is a kachim kachim. And the zrikas hadam is different. A chatos is four matonis, And Shlomo is still matan. He says lemaila mechutasik, lemata mechutasik. Everything's totally different. What do you mean you have in mind? That's very questionable. What Tosis said. So this is very unclear exactly what that third carbon is supposed to mean. He's supposed to bring another carbon, or it's enough if you eat the carbonus that they have. The simple reading of the Gemara is it's enough if you eat the carbonus that you have. So that we're not sure exactly what that means. The oilas riya, the shalmei chagiga can be brought on yontif, because you're going to eat the flesh. The oilas riya is a machlokes b'shamei and b'sil. So b'shamei hold it's not decha yontif because there's no oichal nefesh. There are carbonas that are decha Shabbos. The carbonas that you bring the tmidim and musaf man Shabbos. The tmidim and musaf man decha Shabbos because it's a carbon shizmano kavua. In the sense, if it's ovayoma bottle carbon, if I don't bring the carbon today, I miss my opportunity. But on, let's say, is that the same rule for yontif? Which carbon? You're not allowed to do melachas on yontif either, unless they're chal nefesh. So you're going to bring a oilas riyo. The person doesn't need anything with an oilas riyo. So there is no chal nefesh. So Basil will say, no, he's still allowed to bring it. Why? It's a tzorach hayom ktsas. Not only are you permitted to do a malacha for the purpose of echal nefesh, but tzorach hayom ktsas also. Yeah, but what's the big tzorach hayom? You can take care of it tomorrow. So brentish, you can bring it tomorrow. So the Gemara says, Beis Hillel learn out from Sukkim that the definition of korban shezmano kavua with respect to yontif is different from with respect to Shabbos. With respect to Shabbos, to be allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, to bring a carbon has to be Zmano Kavu in the sense of a Yoma bottle carbon. If I don't bring it today, I lost my chance. But Yontav has to be of a Zmano bottle carbon. It has a Zman Mesuyam. The Zman is not today, but there's a restricted Zman. You can't bring the Shalmei, let's say the Oilas Riya, you can only bring the 7 days of Pesach, the 8 days of Sukkot. The Shavuos, you can either bring on Shavuos, or the following 6 days. The Mishnah says that you have Tashlumin. Mishnah Chagiga says if you didn't bring the Oil Asri and the Shalmei Chagiga on Shavuos, you have the next 6 days, you can have Tashlumin for it. So it's not Dechayant because of a Yoma bottle carbon. It's not true. It's not of a Yoma. It's of a Zmano bottle carbon. So we pass like Beis Hillel that they're both Dechayantiv. Both the Oil Asri and the Shalmei Chagiga, you're allowed to be makre both on Yantiv. And Bishamai were of the opinion, Bishamai Bishil were during this man by Sheni. Hillel was the chief rabbi, and Shammai was the assistant chief rabbi, the Nasi and the Abdesna, 100 years before the Churban by Sheni. It was really 250 years before, I don't know. But the Gemara says 100 years before the Churban by Sheni. That's how it says in the Gemara. So they had Machlaikasim is man Abayis. So the Gemara says, Isru Chagav Shavuos was always a special day. Isru Chagav Pesach and Isru Chagav Sukkot was nothing special with Zman Abayis. Isru Chagav Shavuos was always a special day. According to all the Beishamei Nikkis, they would never bring the Oil Asriya on Yontif, so they had to bring it the day after.
In other words, when they came out on the Shabbos, they couldn't bring it on a Sunday because then it would come out like a Sukkot now, but Shavuos would be on the first day.
Right. The Mishnah has there was a special concern. Is man by Sheni, there were periods of time that the Tzukim were running the Beis Hamikdash, and the Tzukim were of the opinion that Shavuos is always an extended weekend. Shavuos is always on a Sunday because it's only one day Yontif. So Moshe Rabbeinu made up the whole Torah. That's what they did. Moshe Rabbeinu loved the Jewish people, and he decided since Shavuos is only one day Yontif, so he's going to make an extended weekend. So we take off on Shabbos and on Sunday. You take off in the middle of the week, it's a pain in the neck. How can you go to the mountains in the middle of the week? But you're taking off for Shabbos anyways. They take off like Yontav Sheni Shel Golis, by us, we have 2 days. So Moshe Rabbeinu loved us, so he made that Shavuot should always be on a Sunday. So Bizmana Bayis, they went out of the way to demonstrate that they never hold like anything that Tzdukim said. So the Mishnah says that, and Mishnah Chagiga says they had a special takana that sometimes Isru Chag HaShavuos they would treat it like a plain day. But on the normal conditions, all the Beishame Nikis would bring the Oil Asriya on Isru Chag or the first 6 days after Shavuos. That's what the Mishnah states in Masechas Chagiga. That just like Pesach, he can bring the oil Sviya Shamach Hagiga for the duration of all the 7 days, and for Sukkot he can bring it for all 8 days, Shmini Atzeres also. So Shavuos, the 6 days after Shavuos, is also Tashlumin. How did they figure that one out? But there is no Chol HaMoed Shavuos, so how did they figure out that you can bring the Karbonos the whole week long? So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye says there's an apparent contradiction between the two parshias of Sviros HaOmer. In Parshas Hamor, it says Tisperu Hamishim Yom. You count 50 days, 49 days. And in Parshas Re'eh, it says Shiva Shavuos. You count the weeks. The Gemara says, which is it? Are we counting weeks or are we counting days? Amar Abaye, they're both right. Mitzvah the Mim Neyomi, Mitzvah the Mim Neshavuot. Like when we tell Sviro, we said last night. Last night was 35 days that added up to 5 weeks. So we counted the days and we counted the weeks. So the Gemara says, Sviros HaOmer is for the purpose of being Kaveh Shavuos. So since you count days, Shavuos is going to be a holiday of 1 day. And since you count weeks, so Shavuos is going to be a holiday of a whole week. What do you mean Shavuos is only a holiday of 1 day? You go to work right away. You can only bring the Musafim on Shavuos. You can't bring the Musafim the next 6 days. Gemara says, no, it's a holiday of a whole week with respect to Tashlumin of Riyah and Chagigah. So the Sviros HaOmer is for the purpose of being Koveh Shavuos. And with Koveh, we establish Shavuos as a holiday of 1 day with respect to many dinim, Isa Malocha, and Hakrovus HaMusofim, a holiday of a whole week with respect to the Oil of Sviya and the Shalmei Chagigah. That's why there is some Rishonim are of the opinion, that's the Girsa that they had in the Gemara, that what's the story with Sviros HaOmer Bizman Hazeh? Is it the Raisa de Rabbanim? So in Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion is that Sviras HaOmer is only Midei Rabbanan, because you only begin counting Svira the day on which you brought the Korban Minchas HaOmer. So Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kaim, there's no Minchas HaOmer, so there's no Sviras HaOmer to speak of, no Sviras HaOmer Deraisa. And the Rambam follows the Gaonim that opinion that was mentioned in the Gemara is rejected. Sviras HaOmer Bizman Hazeh is Deraisa. You don't have to bring a Minchas HaOmer. That's the day, Tezayin Nissan is the day that you should have brought the Minchas HaOmer, so that's when you count Sviros. So there's a third opinion that splits between the two, and that was the Girsa that they had, the Rabbeinu Yerucham had that Girsa in the Gemara. That's not the way we read the Gemara. He had a Girsa in the Gemara that Bizman HaZeh, the counting of the days is the Raisa, the counting of the weeks is the Rabbanan Zechal HaMikdash. What's the logic? So logic is very compelling. You count the days because Bizman HaZeh, there is no Beis HaMikdash, so nobody's bringing all this Riyan Shalmei Chagigah. So the relevance of Shavuos is only for a 1 day Shavuos, Isa Malacha. So counting of the days is to be Kaveh Shavuos as a Yontav of 1 day. What are we going to be gaining by counting weeks? You're going to establish Shavuos as a Yontav of a whole week long L'may Nafkemina. There are no Shalmei Chagigah, there are no Erlus Riyas, there is no Tashlum in Kol Shiva. Nafkemina for the Hasidim that they should know not to say Tachnun for 7 days. Okay. Yeah, there is such an opinion in Achrayna. Yeah, the Pashtus is that it's really not correct. There is such an awkward opinion that if a person forgot to say Shachyanu on Shavuos, he can still say for the next 6 days after, because it's really a Yantav of 7 days. The Gemara says, if you forgot to say Shachyanu the first day Pesach, you can say Achal Amod, you can say whatever you remember. If you forgot to say Shachyanu in the beginning of Sukkot, you can say Shachyanu for Sukkot. On Chol HaMoed, when it comes to Shmirat Tzeres, that's a regel b'fnei atzmei, say its own Shachyanu. But on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, you can still say Shachyanu for Sukkos. That's what some want to say. One who forgot to say Shachyanu on Shavuos still has a chance to say Shachyanu the next 6 days. That's a very minority opinion. Yeah.
Even the second day they say is problematic, because we know it's got to be 50 days after Pesach. We only have the second day Shavuos because of the low school.
Yontav Sheni Shel Shavuos is an issue. The Rambam was bothered with the Kasha. The Rambam asked the Kasha the second day Rosh Hashanah. There was a Sveka the Yom, they didn't know when Rosh Hashanah was. So it makes sense they observed 2 days Rosh Hashanah. Yontav Sheni of Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres is okay. Not all the communities were notified by Sukkot's time. It took a long time till they found out when Sukkot, when Rosh Hashanah was. So there were communities where they didn't know.
Yom Kippur, they did know. They established a day for Yom Kippur.
Right, they never fasted 2 days Yom Kippur.
Right, so once I know that's the 10th,
right.
I should know when Sukkot is.
Right, so the Netziv writes in his commentary on Chumash, on Parshas Emor, he says, even when there was a real Sveka Diyoma, it was never a real Sveka Diyoma. the whole Yantam Sheni, even Bizman, that there was Sveika Yom, was either the Rabbanon or Minik. It was never really Sveika Deraisa Lechomer. But Haraya, that Yom Kippur. So you're not, that the fact that nobody fasts 2 days in a row, maybe because it's a suffix Sakona. And maybe they're afraid the healthy people should fast and the weaker people should not fast. Then you're going to have weaker people fasting and they're going to die. They're going to think that they're healthy. So the fact that nobody fasts 2 days Yom Kippur doesn't prove anything. But we should have said no one should have done malacha 2 days Yom Kippur. Should have said no one should fast because safek sakana, and no one should do malacha. So he says, you see that the sveik of the yom, I feel of his man that there was a real bona fide sveik of the yom, was never a real sveik of the yom, because they always knew 499 out of 500 years Elul only had 29 days. La matzina Elul miyuber. Once every 500 years or so, Elul is going to have 30 days. Right. So the whole second day Rosh Hashanah is not a real Sveika Deraisa L'chumer. It's either the Rabbanon or Minig. That's according to Rashi, that's a machlokes in the Gemara. Whether Yantav Sheni, when it was a real Sveika the Yom, or was it the Rabbanon or Minig? Yom HaRichter is another explanation why. The Gemara has a different explanation why, right? So the Rambam is bothered, but that kasha, that's a strong kasha. Rambam is bothered. Shavuos is a function of when Pesach was, and Pesach is a function of when Rosh Chodesh Nissan was. So you need to tell me from Rosh Chodesh Nissan, Rosh Chodesh Yer to Sivan, it's already more than 2 months later. There's still places in Chutzlars where they didn't hear when Rosh Chodesh Nissan was. So Rav Soloveitchik once said he's not so bothered by the kasha. He doesn't see why the Rambam thought that it was such a gewaldige kasha. But we didn't ask Rav Soloveitchik. So the Rambam did ask the kasha. So the Rambam gives the answer that you mentioned, that the Gemara says there were locations, let's say the Bezdin that declares when Rosh Chodesh is, let's say for argument's sake, meets in Yerushalayim. For many years after the Churban Bayis Sheni, they didn't meet in Yerushalayim. They met in Usha and Shfarim and Tzipori and Tveria, wherever the Bezdin HaGadol was, the Esek Golias, also Sanhedrin, they were floating around in different locations in Eretz Yisrael. So wherever they were, so when they established when Rosh Chodesh Kislev was, whatever Rosh Chodesh was, so they would send out shluchim. So the shluchim are not allowed to travel on Shabbos. They're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to notify the people when, what date was established as Rosh Chodesh. So they can only go on the weekdays. So there are locations, the Gemara says, where the shluchim Nisan higiu, the shluchim Tishrei lo higiu. Because shluchim Nisan have an extra 2 days to travel. Because Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, they can't travel. They can only travel Yemos Sechol. Shabbos, they can't travel. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you can't travel. So Nissan, you have an extra couple of days. So there were locations. Let's say you draw a circle around Yerushalayim. So the shluchim travel till that circle. So the shluchim Nissan had an extra 2 days to travel. So they went further. So the shayla was, those locations where the shluchim Nissan higiyu, the shluchim Tishrei lo higiyu, so did they have to observe 2 days Pesach? The shluchim came and they told them where Rosh Chodesh Nissan was. So the Gemara says, since they always have to have 2 days Sukkos, so you make a loy plug. Because if you're going to tell them they don't have to have 2 days Pesach, then when it comes Sukkos, they're only going to have 1 day Sukkos. And that's not right, because the shluchim Tishrei lo magim shama. Only shluchim Nissan magim. So the Gemara says that there's such a loy plug. So that's what the Rambam quotes, that Gemara, to answer his kasha. He's bothered with Akasha. How can it be? By the time it comes Sukkos, by the time it comes Shavuos, there are locations in the world where they still didn't hear when Rosh Chodesh Nissan was.
You're counting 49 days, 50 days, period. It has nothing to do with the Chodesh. It's a count.
Counting from Pesach.
Yeah.
So by the time it comes Shavuos, so they should have already known when the correct day of Pesach was. So they know already when Rosh Chodesh Nissan was. So it's already over 2 months later, and they still don't know. How can it be? So the Rambam says it's a loy pluk. Since they have to observe 2 days Shavuos, and since they have to observe 2 days Pesach and 2 days Sukkos, so even though Shavuos doesn't make any sense anywhere, so the Rambam claims that that's a loy pluk Rabban. The Pashtus, according to the Rambam, the Pashtus is, when you have a din de Rabbanon that's because of a loy pluk, that's not as strong as a real din de Rabbanon that has a real reason. A loy pluk Rabbanon, not to get confused. So that's why there was an Asik in the 1800s. There was a Maisa with a get, that Rebbe Yehuda's grandson was a big Talmid Chacham. He wrote a sefer on the Rambam, Yad HaMelech, very nice sefer, nothing wrong with it. He knew how to paskin shaila, so he came up with a kula, and they all stoned him. They all held putting him in cheren. There was a man who was going to die on the second day Shavuos. And if he would die, they had no children. The couple, he was married, they had no children. And his wife would be Skuka Leyavam, and they knew it would be impossible to get Chalitza from the brother-in-law. I already forgot the whole background. The brother-in-law lives far away, or he's a Meshumet or something. It would be impossible to get Chalitza. So the woman is Nebuchadnezzar Aguna. So the grandson of Nadi Yehuda, or Gepaskin. So if you would ask a goy to write, to do a malocha, in order to save the woman from Igun, that wouldn't be any problem. But you can't ask a goy to write a get. It'll be Shalom Lishma. A get can only, a shech to behem. You can't ask a goy to shech to behem. It'll be an avail. So if you ask a goy to write a get, there's going to be a possible get. So he said, you're permitted to have a Jew write the get on the second day Shavuos. He wouldn't be matter this on the second day Pesach, on the second day Rosh Hashanah, on the second day Sukkot, only on the second day Shavuos, because of the Rambam says that the observance of the second day Shavuos is only a loy plug rabbanon. So really, there's no reason for it. It's just a loy plug, not to confuse Pesach and Sukkot with Shavuos, not to be mekel there. So it's a lower level, the rabbanon, so it can be mekel zayin mishum iguna, to allow malocha, that a Jew should write to get. So they all stoned him. They all got upset. It's not so crazy. But you think about it, it's not so bad. I don't know what they got so excited. So the Chassam Sofer was always fighting reform. So when the Chassam Sofer is fighting the reform, he always goes to the opposite direction. So when the reform first started, so they started picking on Minhagim. They have Jews, they decided to do away with Kol Nidre. It's a busha, because the Jews would cheat in business. And they had promised the goy, they shook hands and they promised the goy a shvua, whatever, they're going to deliver the goods by such a day, they're going to pay this. Then they made Kol Nidre, and shine, they didn't keep that promise. So the Reform decided they're going to do away with Kol Nidre. So it shouldn't, to take off the Chil Hashem. They should never be matter any shvuas, because it was Chil Hashem, the goy was saying that the Jews make Kol Nidre, and they don't live up to that. So they went wild about this. The Maram Shik was the Talmud of the Chassam Sofer. How can you do away with Kol Nidre? Then they allowed intermarriage. So he's more upset about the Kol Nidre than about the intermarriage. He said, the intermarriage, that's not going to last too long. The Jews are going to realize that's a Kol Nidre. They're going to get away with this. He's Eish Lehav against it. So the Chassam Sofer also, he got so excited because the reform all started in that generation. It started with picking on Minhagim. So the Chassam Sofer has in one tshuva, he has 20 tshuvas if he talks about the same thing. So one day he woke up on the left side of the bed. He wrote a funny tshuva. All the other 19 tshuvas he writes the way everybody says. He writes in one tshuva, Safik de Rabbanon lekula, Safik de Raisa lechumra, and a minig is binding mitam neder. It's a Gemara. So neder is a deraisa, so Safik minig is lechumra. It's against the Gemara. The Gemara says the minig is binding mitam neder mid de Rabbanon. It's not a neder min atur. It's a Gemara in the dorm, da tezvav. And they all list the another 19 shuvas with the Chassam Sofer himself. So he writes, not so. The din of derais, the din of derabbanim and hagam are a lower level than the din of derabbanim. It's not a higher level. That shuvah, he was attacking the reform. So it had to go to the opposite extent. So over here also, he was so upset with this psak of the Nadi Behuda's grandson that he allowed the Sofer to write the get on the second day Shavuos. So he says, if anything, second day Shavuos is more chomer than any other Yantav. How can it be more chomer? What are you talking about? Second day Shavuos, the Rambam says, only a loy plug Rabbanon. The classical poskim say that an Issa de Rabbanon, that's because of a loy plug. Really, there's no reason to have an Issa. It's only because you don't want to get confused in another case. An Issa that's a loy plug is a lower level of an Issa. Some Achrayim want to say, the Chelkas Yoyev has a tshuva. He wants to say that any Issa de Rabbanon, it's only Mishum Leiplug would be Mutta b'maka mitzvah. You don't even need Igun. Should be Mutta b'maka mitzvah. This is certainly a maka mitzvah. So we don't accept that. The Avnei Nezer disagrees strongly with that Chelkas Yoyev. We don't accept that. But to say even b'maka migun, it's not so obvious that the Nadi Behuda's grandson was wrong.
There are other people, like
the same way as the They all disagreed with him, yeah.
How can they wrote to get the woman or not?
Yeah, he was the rav in the city. They wrote the get. Then after Yonta was over, they notified everybody. So then they all got upset.
And the man recovered.
No, no? He didn't recover. No. No. No, they needed it on the spot. Look, the rav on the spot has to paskin on the spot. Yeah. there was such a maisa in the 1900s when there were pogroms in I think in Kishinev. So the Chazon Ish had a very big family. He had I think 12 brothers and sisters, everybody all together. All the brothers were rabbanim, not all as great as he was. Some of them were pretty strong competition to him. And he had sisters, they all married Rabban. Stipula was one of their brothers-in-law. So one of his brothers was a Rav in Europe, in a little community. So I think the Aguda sent out telegrams to all the Rabban. There was a pogrom in Kishinev, and it's mamish suffix, sakonis nefashis, and they have to raise money for the Jews in Kishinev. So the brother of the Chazon Ish took the telegram literally, suffix sakonis nefashis. So Shabbos morning, before after Kriya Sator, before Musaf, he said, it's suffix sakonis nefashis, and because nefesh is Decha Shabbos, everybody should go home and bring the money to shul right now. He's going to wait before Musaf, they should collect the money. So there was an Erev in the village, so there was no Isra of Haitzav, just an Isra of Tiltum Mukze. And then they sent the money, I think, that day, by mail or something, I don't know. So on Shabbos, no one heard about it, just the people in the shul. He said, suffix sakonis nefashis. So it's Decha Shabbos. Then after Shabbos, when they notified everybody, so there was a homa, and everybody was ganging up against him, that he did wrong. That it wasn't literally, it wasn't to be taken literally, it wasn't a real suffix, hakana lefashis, that to the extent that there had to be mechal Shabbos. Yeah, but the rabbi on the spot has to pass on something. So he felt that he thought it's a suffix, hakana lefashis. So according to his perception, he did the right thing. We have a minig in Shulchan Aruch that many claim is a real din. They quote from the Shaloh and from others that you shouldn't say Kiddush on the first night of Shavuos until Tzeis HaKachovim. So in the Shulchan Aruch, so some say when you go home to say Kiddush. Others say the Taz say you shouldn't even daven Ma'ariv because the Chachamim were misakin that you should say Kiddush B'Tfilo and Kiddush Alakos. And Kiddush B'Tfilo should also be Balayla. What is it based on? So the Shaloh and the others in the Shulchan Aruch, they all say based on Sheva Shabbos as Tmimos, that it says Tmimos, that if you're going to be Mekabel, if you're going to be Mekabel Shavuos early, so you're hacking up from the last day, you're chiseling off from the last day, so it's going to be a lack of Tmimos. So that's what the Netziv has a taina, and that's what they quote Rab Chaim Berlin, was the son of the Netziv. So he lived in Eretz Yisrael the end of his years, last couple of years of his life. So that based on what his father's taina was, his practice was that during Sfira he can never be Mekabel Shabbos early. All the weeks of Sfira, because Tmimos, if you're going to be Mekabel Shabbos early in the middle of the Sfira, you're hacking up from that day. You're hacking, not allowed to hack up, you're going to ruin the Tmimos. It's usually assumed that they didn't mean that. They meant Tmimos, the whole unit of 49 days should be Tmimos. You're going to hack off the last day, so the whole thing is going to be Tmimos. So the Netziv said differently. He said the practice is a correct practice, but it's not based on Tmimos. There's no such mocker in the Gemara. It's based on the Pasuk and the Parsha. It says in Parsha Semor, I think, Ukrosim be'etzem ayam azeh. So, something like that. Yes. So the Gemara says in Yume, be'etzem ayam azeh means itzumo shel yom to the exclusion of Tosefes. The Gemara says there's an inyan of Tosefes Yom Kippurim, but if a person does malacha on Yom Kippur, a person eats on actual on Yom Kippur, he's chayv kares. If a person eats or does malacha during the period of Tosefes Yom Kippur, so the Gemara learns from the pasuk that there's no kares. Why? Kikol nefesh shelos zune beetzem ayam hazeh v'habadati as nefesh shahi beetzem ayam hazeh all means on Yom Kippur, but if you violate Tosefes Yom Kippur, there's no v'habadati, there's no kares. So just like there, the Gemara is Madaik, the Etzam Ayam as a means to the exclusion of Tosefes, so the Netziv, and a contemporary of the Netziv was Rab Shloimeh Levilna, the Dayan in Vilna, the one who was the Magi on the Vilna, Shas, the Cheshek Shloimeh. So he writes in his Sefer also like that. That was, they both came up simultaneously with the same mindfall. That Pasuk, Krasim Be'etzam Ayam Azeh, refers to Kiddush. That's the marker that Kiddush is the rice on Yontif. Machlek is a Rishon, and the Gemara says Kiddush is derais on Shabbos. What about on Yontif? So the Rambam holds Kiddush on Yontif is also derais. The Magen Mishnah says that there were those who disagree. The whole Kiddush on Yontif is only the Rabbanan. So many say here it says Krosim Be'etzem Ayam Hazeh Mikra Kodesh Yelachem. Krosim Be'etzem Ayam Hazeh means to declare that today You have to say Kiddush. So we say Kiddush b'tfila and Kiddush ala kas. We say twice. So since it says krasim be'etzam hayam hazeh mikra kodesh, you should recite the Kiddush be'etzam hayam hazeh to the exclusion of Tosefes. That was the Netziv, and that was Reb Shlomo Miller Vilna. Ah, Kiddush. Shailas, what about the second night of Shavuos? What about the second night? You say also Sveka the Yoima. So the Prima Gadim quotes, I think, the Shiori Knes HaGdayla, who says that since there's such a consideration, you shouldn't start davening, or you shouldn't say Kiddush till Tzeis HaKacham. So the same applies Sveka the Yoima to the second night. So the Prima Gadim says, give me a favor, give me a break. The whole story of the first night is Achumah that was invented by the Achrayinim. And you don't sell Sfira on the first day Shavuos. You finished already before. So what kind of Tmimah is? He's working on the Tmimah. The way the Netziv says has nothing to do with Tmimah. It's because Kros and Be'etz Mayim Azay Mikra Kodesh. So you can say even on the second night. So maybe that's the Machlokes there. But the Prima Gadim is making. He said the second night. Why? Yeah. The Taz has a Chumer. The Yek is followed the Maharil. The Maharil records a minig that in Germany, I don't think all of Germany, in many parts of Germany, because the Prima Gadim also lived in Germany, and he didn't have this minig. He was a Galatianer, but he lived in Germany. He lived in the other Frankfurt. Not Breuer's Frankfurt. Frankfurt on the Oder, whatever. Yeah. So the Prima Gadim lived on the Oder and the other one. So the Maharil writes a minig that they don't begin Baruchu, they don't begin davening Ma'ariv till any Yontav Sheni, till Tzeis HaKachavim, because you're not allowed to do a malacha on the first day for the second day Yontav. You're not allowed to do any hachanas first day for the second day. So Mustama, the Balabasta, is going to clear the table and put the plates on. So if she's nervous, the husband is going to come home soon, and I have to have the soup warmed up, and I have to have the chicken warmed up. So she's going to be doing malachas or doing hachanas on the first day for the second day. So if you tell a wife, we're not going to begin baruchu until after nacht, until after tzeis hakochav. So she knows she has plenty of time, so she doesn't begin to do any hachanas or any malachas until after tzeis hakochav. That was a German minig in much of Germany, not all of Germany. Prima Gadim didn't have that minig, even though he lived in Germany.
Not our area.
Okay. Some are makbid all the time. Never to daven early. Yeah. On Shavuos, in addition to the musafim that I mentioned, every yontif you bring karbonos on musafim that I mentioned in Parshas Pinchas. In addition to the musafim. On Pesach, in addition to the Musafim, the first day Chol HaMoed, you bring the Minchas HaOmer. And on Shavuos, in addition to the Musafim that appear in Pinchas, you have to bring the Shtei Alechem that's written up in Parshas Hemor. So the Shtei Alechem is, first is a question, why is it called Shtei Alechem? Shtei is Lashon Nekevah, should be Shnei. So Tosfos, there's a Perek Shtei Alechem. That's the name of the Perek, Shtei Alechem, the end of Menachos. The Perek has only two blot about Shtei Alechem. The rest of the perek is about Lechem upon him and other dinim. But the Omechab in the mitzvah, so the name of the perek is Shtei Alechem. So the first Tosfos, Shtei Alechem, raises the issue, and they claim that in biblical Hebrew the word Lechem is sometimes Zocha, sometimes the Keva. It's a problem. Why is it? Why the Chumash calls it Shtei Alechem? It's not the fault of the Tanoim. Chumash calls it Shtei Alechem. So in conjunction with the Shtei Alechem, you have to bring a whole bunch of karbonis. So the Balatanya came up with a chiddush. The first Lubavitcher Rebbe came up with a chiddush that on Shavuos, when you say in the Musaf Dik Hashman Esrei, we'll bring all the karbonis, as it says in the Chumash, they say Yomei Bikurim, you say the karbonis. So that only has the karbonis Hamusafim from Parshas Pinchas. What's going to be with the karbonis that you bring in conjunction with the Shtei Alechem? So he said, you should mention that also. But mention that there were loads of there are many karbonis. I think it's 10 oilas. I think if I'm not mistaken, I think 10 oilas and 1 chatos and 2 shlomims. That's once a year. Right. So that's the Balatanya introduced that. He said that in Shalma Forim Svasenu, that we should speak about the karbonis, and it'll be considered as if we brought the karbonis. So there's a Taisus and Megillah. A little Taisus and Megillah says the Ikka concern of a neshama form sasana is really about the chatos. That's what Tosis is bothered with Akasha. How come the Goyim introduced, Bizman Gemara, they never had this, the Goyim introduced that on every yontov we take out two Sefer Torah, and the second Sefer Torah learned from Pinchos. That's a Minhag HaGoyim they introduced. So why didn't the Goyim introduce that every Shabbos we should take out a second Sefer Torah and learn from Pinchos of the Yom HaShabbos? So Tosis has three entertaining answers. So Tosis has one answer, it's only two psukim. You can't have an aliyah of less than two psukim. So why not? So you add on, so learn a little more. So Tosis understands, no, if the Ikka Kriya is three psukim or more, then you can add on more and more and more. But if the whole Kriya is only two, it can't get off the ground. That's one answer. Then Tosis says another answer, it will get boring, because the Haftarah always has to have a Shaychus with the second Kriya Satara. So if you're going to take out a Sefer Torah every single Shabbos to say, yeah, I'm going to have the same Haftarah every week, it's going to get boring. Also a funny answer. And then the third answer that Tosis gives, that's what the Baal HaTanya adopts that. Third answer is that on Shabbos there never was a Chatos. Shnei Kvos Menishana with Tmim were Oilos. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. Why do you say Biyahava twice when Yanta falls out on Shabbos? So Biyahava twice, in parenthesis, the second time, because the Rabban Shalom doesn't even remind us that we sin. You don't have to bring any Chatas on Shabbos. That's a Rav Soloveitchik thought. So Tosis says that the real Neshama Farm Soseinu, the main Neshama Farm Soseinu, is really been in Geir to the Chatas. But since on Shabbos there's no Chatas, so it's not that significant. So that's what the Baal HaTanya relies on that. So he says, when you say the Musafim, so we say all the Musafim B'yamak Bikurim, because there's a Chatas there. And then from all of the whole bunch of Karbonos that we bring in conjunction with the Shtei Alechem, we say Shnei Sirim L'chaper. We allude to the second Sor L'chatas that was brought in conjunction with the Shtei Alechem. We don't have to mention the others, because the Shlomim and the Oilos, the main on the Shama form Soseinu, is really for the Chatas. And many have that practice, not only Lubavitch. Many have the practice that on Shavuos, instead of saying Sor L'chaper, you say Shnei Sirim L'chaper, to allude to the Sor L'chatas that was brought in conjunction with the Shtei Alechem. One of the two of the Karbonos that you're bringing in conjunction with the Shtei Alechem were the Kivsi Atzeres, Shalmei Tzibur. All year long, a Yochid can bring a Shlam. There's never any Shalmei Tzibur. It doesn't exist. Once a year on Shavuos, you bring the two Kivsi Atzeres and Shalmei Tzibur. And the Mishnah distinguishes. The Shalmei Yochid is Kachim Kalim. The Shalmei Tzibur is Kachim Kachim. A different carbon. Usually carbon Yochid, carbon Tzibur. A little difference. This is Manakavua, who pays for it. It comes from Achzah Shekel money. Here it's in Gans in a different carbon. The Shalmei Tzibur, Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur, is Kotche Kotchim. It's only Nechol by the Zichrei Kuhuna, Yom Balai Lo Ad Chatzos. It can only in the Azara. It's totally different from a Shalmei Yochid. In Gans in a different carbon. The Gemara has a comment on the pasuk of Midbar Matona, Matona Nachliel. So the Gemara says on the opening pasuk in Parshas Bamidbar, the Medrash talks a lot. Why did Rabbi Shalom give the Torah in the Midbar? So there are several reasons, several explanations given by the Medrash. So one explanation that's given is, Midbar Matona, a person is Meisim Atzmo Ke Midbar, Hefke Lakol, he will be Zeche Matona. The Rabbi Shalom is knows the law of the Torah by Matona. He said the person is not arrogant. If a person holds from himself, very self-assertive, so then he will not be matzliach that much in learning. That's what the different chassidische rebbes and misnagdische, they all gave the same taich on the opening mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Moshe kibbutz Torah miSinai. So the simple translation is Moshe was given the Torah at Har Sinai. That's the location. So they say, no, Moshe kibbutz Torah. Why was he the mekabel of the Torah? Because of his humility, miSinai. Because the Medrash tells, the Gemara tells the whole Medrash, that the other mountains were competing. They all wanted the Torah should be given on them, higher mountains. Rabbi Shalom chose Har Sinai because it was a lower mountain. So the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen, he should be the Mekabel HaTorah, Moshe Kibbutz Torah, Mi Sinai. The same reason Har Sinai was picked, because of its humility. So Moshe Rabbeinu was picked. So that's what the Gemara says on the pasuk. Midbar Matana, one is Meis Matzmak in Midbar. person is mevater and he's friendly with others and he doesn't hold from himself, he stands a better chance of being matzliach and learning. The Gemara says we paskin like the Beis Hillel against the Beis Shammai all the time. So the Gemara gives an erev in the end of the first paragraph. Gemara gives two reasons. So one reason is because they were the rabbim. The other reason is because b'mteishan v'sanim hay, because they were more humble than the Beis Shammai. Doesn't mean Beis Shammai were arrogant, but because Beis Hillel were more humble, so they were more zeichet hatzlocha and learning. A person is humble, so he's open to listen to suggestions. He's open to think. A person is arrogant, so he makes up his mind right away, and then he's not going to change his mind. So those who want to be matzliach and learning should be careful when they daven Shemoneh Esrei and they say Elokai Netzor L'Shani Meirosh. They should say Nafshi Kof Al Kol Tihya. A person should pray to the Ribbono Shel Olam that he should be matzliach and anibis. Mele he will be matzliach and learning. Okay, next I'm going to Eretz Yisrael this Wednesday night for a bar mitzvah of twin grandsons this coming Shabbos, and then next Shabbos Nasai we have a bas mitzvah of a granddaughter in a different city in Eretz Yisrael, so we won't be coming back till Erev Yantav Erev Shavuos. I won't be able to give a shiur next week. So the next year will be, the last year will be the Tuesday night after Shavuos. We'll go back to the Saita, where we have to start the second parak. We finally finished all the Agadot in the first parak, we're up to the second parak. Right.